Steve Sherlock with the Franklin Matters Radio Show, number 322 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass Economic Development Subcommittee meeting held on Tuesday, July 30, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Chair Melanie Hamblin opens the meeting at 6:01 p.m. Town Administrator Jamie Helen provides a brief update on reopening Phase 3. Brian Taberner, Director of Planning and Community Development, provides a recap of the presentation and discussion on the market study prepared by the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, or MAPC. Raul Gonzalez, Senior Partner, had presented the study to the Town Council meeting on the prior Wednesday. The show notes contain links to this meeting agenda and to the individual documents referenced, including the Town Council presentation and documents as well. This meeting segment runs around 90 minutes, so let's listen to the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting of July 30.
Yeah, so you want me to read everything? Are you going to, like, take over completely
now? Nope. Yeah, I know. I'll have the TA read the statement
every
time.
You're like, that's it, I'm taking over.
No way. No. Nope, you can just read it all and then make sure that the mics work for Andy Glenn and Bobby.
Yeah, because we haven't... Okay, so since it is 6:01 on July 30th, I will call the meeting of the EDC for July 30th open. And I need to read these for a few things here. So as a preliminary matter, this is Melanie Hamblin. I permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. So I'm going to call your names for the EDC and just make sure that we can hear you, because we have, I think we've heard Glenn, but I'm not sure we can hear Andy use his mic yet. So let's, Andy Visanti.
Present.
Thank you.
Andy.
Thank you. Good. Glenn Jones.
Still here.
Okay. So both counselors are here. McCarthy Heyman will probably be late if he pops in. And we have Town Administrator Jamie Helen.
Present.
Thank you. And Assistant to the Town Administrator Chrissy Welton. You can see her there.
Mic's off, Chrissy.
I can see her there.
Yeah. We can move on anyway.
Well, we'll go to Brian.
Oh,
there you go.
Charlotte was calling me.
Oh. Okay. All right, so Chrissy's here, and Brian Taberner, the Director of Community Planning and Development, I think has just joined us. Can you hear us, Brian? And can you say you're here so we can hear you?
I am here.
Okay. Thank you very much. So this is an open meeting in the Franklin Economic Development Subcommittee. It's being conducted remotely, consistent with Governor Baker's executive order. I think we've read this like 3 million times already, right?
Yeah.
In order to mitigate the transmission of COVID-19 virus, we have been advised the governor order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. And as long as we can ensure public access and allow the public to follow along with us, we will be convening by telephone, video conference, via the Zoom application, as posted on the town's website, identifying how the public may join. All the information is on the town website, as well as the agenda. So, I think that's enough, right?
Yep.
All right.
The other item, Madam Chair, the meeting is being recorded, audio-wise.
That's correct. Thank you, Steve. The meeting is being recorded.
I think everybody knows that.
I mean, we see Steve there, so that's great. And let's go on to the first agenda item. Shall we? It is the reopening Phase 3 discussion.
Yeah.
Jamie, I think you probably want to take this on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's just to reiterate a few things mentioned at the council meeting last night and give everybody an opportunity to ask any questions. I don't think enough conversation or references enough. You know, July has gone really well. I mean, I announced last night that there was 3 active cases in town. You know, we heard the governor today, I think, talk about, you know, we've done really well through the whole summer. It's not time to take the foot off the pedal here in the last 5 weeks of Labor Day. You know, obviously there's been some small upticks because of some big parties out on the Nantucket or the Cape or wherever they are. But I think all in all, you know, we really need to do a good job so that we don't rescind phase 3 back to phase 2. Or, you know, obviously I'm worried about that because that would reduce seating at restaurants. But, you know, as I sit here today and think about, you know, in general, like I said last night, I mean, the town's done an unbelievable job. The citizens, you know, the staff, the department heads, everybody in the community has really pulled together to make some safe events. A couple of notes I mentioned last night, you know, the concerts on the Common is back on. You know, there's a few towns doing them. We're going to add in a couple food trucks tomorrow on the Friday events. It'll be at 5 o'clock. I do believe they're going to be dessert food trucks, which nonetheless still delicious and exciting. I happened to watch the CNC ice cream truck last week, and they had a long stick like those things at church.
Yep.
And they were sticking them all out. So nobody was, there was no contact happening. And I just think everybody's doing a really good job, and hopefully we can keep these numbers low, because I think having the concerts at the Pond with the farmers market, there were some stragglers that came over. You know, obviously we're not COVID. We would have been doing a lot more outreach and coordination with Cynthia and her staff.
Right.
But, you know, nonetheless, I think it started to dawn on folks from both camps, oh, look at this and look at that. So hopefully each week, if the numbers stay good, we can just keep making little bits of improvements and offer a little bit more. Those events, you know, Ryan had mentioned last night that, you know, the basketball league is back open in Franklin, which is exciting. I know a lot of parents were really happy about it because it's a supervised league as opposed to kids just going out on their own with no supervision, no disinfectant, no mask. So we've done a lot of good things. The inspectional services departments, the assessors, the building commissioner, the fire department, and the Board of Health are all back into full inspectional services mode, which is good for a lot of things, for a lot of the contractors home improvements out there, to be able to get your wiring inspectors to come over, plumbing inspectors, everybody to do all that work, to be able to safely go in the home. We're following the rules by the fire department and paramedics to feel that that's a good standard that we live up to. And overall, I think Chrissy is giving us an update that each week or two, there's another restaurant or two that opens up. Acapulco's opened up a couple weeks ago with some outdoor dining. You know, we were really excited to be able to work out a situation with the two property owners adjacent to Gallagher's Pub in that alley. I think Gallagher Joe and his family have done an excellent job decorating that. The vision that Joe and I have talked about quite a bit. And, you know, I tend to ramble like I am now, and I have these crazy ideas and visions, right? And I really, just for the record, I give Joe a lot of credit. I mean, I was envisioning lights, palm trees, you know, tables, just a very nice area, and they did a really, really great job. So if folks haven't gone out to Joe's yet, I think Teddy Gallagher's, they should take a look at that. And
it's so much fun to go downtown, to drive through downtown now, to see what they've done to that alley.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks so nice, and when the lights are on, and the lights are on the trees, it's like, it makes me feel like it's almost normal, right? It's like, you get really excited. I get kind of emotional about it, you know, because it's just really great to see. Is there any way, I know that Chrissy sent out the list the other night to the town council, but there was, how many restaurants now have open outdoor eating?
Chrissy, do you remember the number off the top of your head? Is it a dozen?
I think it's about 10. I'll double check.
Okay. And that's just 10 businesses, by the way, that didn't have outdoor seating to begin with. So,
right.
You know, that's just a key disclaimer, because Santa Fe Burrito, the distillery, many other restaurants in Franklin already had outdoor seating, so they were ready to go from the start. But, you know, I think people are hopefully feeling a little bit more comfortable. And the one other thing I'd mention, Madam Chair, is the micro-enterprise grants town and a consortium of six communities to try to put a little more weight behind the application, was successful in getting $680,000. About a fifth of that is dedicated to food pantries. So there's a formula in which that's going to roll out based on a formula and need basis. That's pretty much etched in stone, and they'll get their money in a couple months or a month that comes to that. So that's really good for the food pantries on six towns. But the town of Franklin will probably receive its cut probably between $85,000 and $100,000, depending on how the six towns work it out, of microenterprise grants, which are for businesses. They're essentially cash checks for businesses that have five or fewer employees and meet certain economic requirements. So when you think of that, you're thinking of the House of Pizza, you think about Pizza Auditorium, you're thinking about a slew of smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. They only have a couple, they have a retail store. It's gonna take us about a month. We legally have to procure this, which to me is nuts, but that's the rule, so we're gonna do it. And that's just my editorialization, I guess, on why they would be making us procure this at this point is crazy. But it's federal. This is federal CARES Act money that is outside of the town allotment, and so we're going to roll that over the next. Try to get that together. Chrissy's working that on our office. There'll be an application. We're going to try to send it out to prospective businesses. All businesses that we're not going to send it out to EMC. They're obviously not going to qualify, right? We're not going to send it to Shaw's. They don't qualify. So we're going to try to winnow that down a bit and target the businesses that we think cast a wide net of who could qualify. And once we get those applications in, we'll go through that process and we'll figure out how many there are. And we'll figure out whether the checks are 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, you know, whatever they are. So that's something that people can look forward to. I think for like the fall too, as they go through, Congress goes through this reauthorization process. But think that maybe in another couple months, there may be some other financial in October. So by the time the money gets out, hopefully gives a little bit of mental relief to some of those businesses that are really, really small and obviously may not have the savings that everybody else has. So that's just another bit of good news. And obviously, you know, Chrissy and I are happy to answer any questions.
So I was gonna ask you about outreach and how we were gonna let the businesses know that the application will be on the website, but I know we have Anna Marie here on the call, and Lisa from the Downtown Partnership. I'm sure we have an army of people that want to get information like this out to the businesses. Right?
Great question. I think all the staff you just mentioned, it's going to be a team effort. So first of all, we have to have the bid posted for 14 days by procurement law, so we won't even have a six-town consortium meeting until probably mid to late August.
Okay.
Chrissy's actually been working on getting those lists together from our DBA certificates and other sources now so we can whittle those down. And then we'll use Viewpoint. We'll use some of them. Will have already had licenses with the town. We already have the contact information. So we'll reach out to them for that. We'll also use the Downtown Partnership to help get out the word. We'll try to use any sources we can to try to spread the word. I think we're going to count on the council as well to do its thing with the communication network. One of you have your own constituencies that can be really helpful to get out the word. So you know, we might do a letter to folks just to introduce it and see if they have the qualifications. You meet the criteria, excuse me, but I think that would probably happen more likely, to be honest, like after Labor Day when that actually goes out. You know, sometimes in early September would be our goal. And then maybe by the end of the Halloween or November, we'll be able to start again. Check it out.
Okay, that's great. Can you make sure your mic's up again? Because we're losing you.
I think I just talk softer for some reason. I'm not sure why. I shouldn't take 2 days off again. 2 days off.
I'm going to ask Andy, Council Presiding, do you have any questions for Jamie about this?
You're not, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you. Okay. Councilor Jones?
Nope.
No questions.
No questions.
Right. Well, thank you, Jamie, for that update. Yeah. And that's kind of exciting. I hope we can continue the outdoor eating, keep it permanent. That's kind of that's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
But we'll work on that.
Well, we're going to talk about that probably in a minute. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to move on to agenda item number two, which is the market analysis and market position presentation discussion. So we'll probably do this for a few meetings, talk about things that we like and have questions, that we get questions from people and things we can and can't do and all that kind of fun stuff, and things we want to dream about for the future, right?
That's right.
So I think, Jamie, are you going to start? Or you want to start first and then we'll throw it to Brian?
It's just really quickly, I think a lot of the folks that are on the meeting tonight maybe saw the meeting last night as well. I mean, I think the goal, just to kind of set this out, is, you know, tonight was just like last night at the council meeting, all the councilors gave, you know, a couple things that I think, you know, they may have picked out of the document. Just to illustrate the examples, Councilor Chandler had mentioned, you know, how do we get people from the industrial parks to not take a left when they're going home, and you know, how do they keep going straight? And then maybe a left on the Union, right, as opposed to a left on the 495. And I thought his point, I thought everybody raised a couple of points. Anne Marie was diligently, you could see her because she was behind me, but you knew she was typing away, and so she was taking all that feedback, and I think tonight would be the same thing. I think tonight was just to get any ideas out of the subcommittee members or the participants on the meeting, of any thoughts that people have, things that jumped out of them that they'd like to see. We're trying to put together what I would kind of think of as a seasonal work plan for the next 12 to 18 months. Obviously, everything's going to change all the time, but we're trying to break up the amount of work so that we can kind of layer this out over time, so that we can't do everything all at once. One of the items that I will mention really quickly that's not in the document, but it's loosely referenced, is we are discussing putting together a series of listening sessions for the EDC. So what that would entail is a monthly community forum based on sectors. So for example, we're looking at trying to do one for the downtown business owner. We're gonna do like a second one for the for real estate, construction and development. A third one on industrial parks, send letters out to them, try to have them come in. We're going to do like maybe a fourth one on restaurants and hospitality, and try to invite through our licenses that we already have through all these businesses, try to invite them out to just have a free range conversation about, now we've been in COVID for 6, 7, 8 months, you know, where do we, what is it that we need to be doing, and what are the ideas that they can bring to the table on some of this stuff. And I think that that's something we've never really done much before. We usually place a lot of that on Brian, and he's done a great job with it, leveraging and harnessing a lot of good relationships with a lot of businesses in town, such as Tegra, Cold Chain, and some great TIFFs that have been beneficial. But as we've talked about at the EDC before, there's only so many incentives out there. We've had a discussion about this, but I think it's also a good moment maybe to step back and also listen to a lot of folks in town, see if we can get any other ideas based on this report, and maybe set ourselves up in 2021 to do some additional things that maybe we haven't thought of. So there's a lot of things that were discussed last night. The Councilor Chandler's idea of how to execute that vision. We have a couple things in our work plan with Anne Marie that are on the list, like wayfinding signs and cultural district related signage, and how we, instead of putting up 5 different signs for Purple Heart and this for that, maybe we could have a more consistent brand. You know, I was actually in the town of Rockport over the weekend. I was up on Cape Ann just for 3 days, and there are wayfinding signs everywhere, and they're very helpful to find cultural districts and those key centers where restaurants are. So tonight was really really a meeting for all of you to just kind of highlight some of that stuff. Amory's going to be taking notes. We're going to continue to add it to the document and see where we can do something. And then in August and September, when our EDC meetings, try to publish that and get some feedback from everybody what that is. So that's my spiel for now. I've taken up 15 minutes, but any questions, happy to answer them. But if Brian has any thoughts, happy to hear them. But obviously, if anybody out there listening, participating, would love to hear feedback from the report, feedback on their ideas, maybe some priorities.
Matthew, if you're in the in the chat, in the if you're participating, make sure that you use the raise hand the button on your the Zoom call. So I think one of my, I just said to Brian last night, like, why don't we just put a one way sign up or something? But I think the ideas of the wayfinding signs are really kind of a fun thing to think about. So first, I see we have a question out there, but I'm going to go to the counselors first. I know we already had a chance to talk about this, but I don't know if anybody thought of anything they wanted to make sure that we heard today. So first I'll go to Councilor Bisanti. Do you have any questions yet or anything to say?
Yes, Madam Chairperson. Okay. The chair to Jamie. Jamie, can you say wayfinding sign stuff?
Sure. So a wayfinding sign is kind of a series of strategically placed signs that help, random travelers. Say somebody saw something and they needed to get a lunch, and they get off the highway, and then right there in front of them is downtown Franklin Crossing, Cultural District, Red Brook Schoolhouse, historical. Downtown Historic Walk, Freedom Trail, I think you think of those big highlights, Dean College, those big highlights of those places that people may want to visit. And I think for Franklin, that's actually really important because if you talk to the hotels and restaurants, a lot of folks, we're a spillover community. Gillette Stadium, Great Woods Amphitheater, the hockey tournaments in Marlboro, Dean College, obviously, other colleges south and north of here. A lot of people take day trips, and so we benefit a lot from those institutions in other towns where the hotel is only, Foxborough Stadium or Gillette Stadium, is only 5 minutes, 10 minutes away, but people don't want to pay the price down on Route 1 or they don't want to be a part of the traffic, so they back out a little bit. And a lot of people fly from other NFL places to come there to see a football game. They obviously can't see Tom Brady anymore, which is a bummer, but they typically, that's a big piece of what helps people navigate when they get into a town, and it gives people a sense of, I think, pride in what they have. It also generates meals tax, hotel tax revenue for the town, for people who are out of town. It's usually a low-cost, good economic development tool. And typically what towns do, Councilor Bisanti, in the case of Cape Ann over the weekend, their signs were very, very old looking, because they're a port town that was like Gloucester from 1620, right? So that authentic old coastal port feel is what they're going for. In Franklin, we've traditionally used the Panther blue colors to help to the town too. And so, my guess is we try to use the local assets that we have. Blue's actually a very good color, by the way, to use for this type of stuff. You try to kind of create something that gives people excitement and direction when they pull off the interstate. So that's generally what a wayfinding sign is like. Downtown Franklin, those types of things.
I think when you travel around and you, like, say you go to a place where you're going, like up in Nova Scotia, they have like the have these trails, right? So you follow the routes around, and there's like the Lighthouse Trail, and there's like the Cape Breton Trail, and so you get to notice the signs because you recognize the shape of the color, and so then you know that you're on the right track. And then there's numbers or something, so you have a book, and it says, oh, if I follow this trail, I'll then see this site, right? Or whatever it is, like then Dean College will be down there, and so people remember the color or the font or whatever it is, right? And that is Franklin. And then they remember, like, oh, that's going to show me how to get somewhere. So I'm going to pay attention to it. And I think that's the fun thing about the wayfinding signs, right? So let's go to Glenn next, and then we'll go back to Brian because I forgot to give Brian a chance. And then so sorry, Brian. But Glenn.
Actually, I'd like to pass the time off to our guests who have questions. I can always comment after the fact.
All right, great, thank you. Brian, do you have anything to add? think you're muted.
I'm not the only one.
Hey, Brian, you're muted still. Can you hear me?
There you go.
There you go.
I thought I'd be waiting for the counselors to give their comments. I just have a couple of things I wanted to mention, and one is that a couple of years ago when we applied for a grant for this project, there were three parts that we actually wanted to address. One, of course, was more of a foundational market analysis, which has been done. A market position summary, I guess, which really we kind of know where we're at right now through that document that has been completed. And the next part really was a business recruitment and retention strategy, which we did not have enough. We didn't get in our grants enough. I applied for two grants since then. We did not get the money for that. But while I've been applying for grants, we actually have a communications person has been hired and been working very hard with the town to do these things. So I'm pretty sure that we have resources inside to do most of what I had pictured the department planning. And also, when it comes right down to this, was downtown partnership and the cultural district committee putting their heads together also. And the business recruitment retention strategy was a big part of that. And really developing a recruitment package in various tools, visual ways to communicate the data that, for instance, that is in the document. Some of it's very good. We want people to know where we stand, what we represent. So some of that, the visual tools are really important. And I also want to, we talked about a wayfinding signs, for instance. It's something that's been on the table for a long time. It's actually part of the Cultural District Committee's goals for the current year. And when COVID came along, actually it was last fiscal year, COVID came around, and that was, it became a project that just did not go forward. So there's a lot of interest with the people in the area, and I think the more input that you get, the better the strategy, if you will, and the better the projects will become. And taking the time to do it right, I think, is definitely what you want to do, and that's what Jamie, I think, approaches to step back, get some good input from various organizations and groups of people. I think it's very important also, and I think you'll be able to design tools essentially for the different groups, whether it be manufacturing, whether it be marijuana facilities or breweries and all of the other things that are out there, or the downtown, of course, and biotechnology, or things of that nature. So there's a lot of things that planning department has done over the years, most of which is outdated, and most of which is on our list of things to do. I think it'll work out working together with what is being proposed right now as an extension of this document. I think to work it all together, it'll work out nice. So that's all I wanted to mention. I think it's the more individuals get involved, the better this is going to be. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. I love the idea of the list, the small listening sessions, the outreach, and I love that kind of stuff. Get all of going, yeah, let's do it now. But okay, we got to take our time. So, thank you for your comments, Brian. And Jamie's just laughing at me.
Right.
I'm like, I'm ready to go. Let's go do it. Well, let's go. Lisa's had her hand up for a long time. Lisa, Yana, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
I didn't have my hand up the whole time. I put my hand down, but.
Well, it's still up on the screen.
Yeah, I know. I just. So I want
everybody's input.
So just a couple things. I just want to go on record to say that the market study came out wonderful, and specifically want to recognize Brian for all the work, because it was, you know, a lot of months. So I just wanted to comment that you know, this information is just great that came through, and the list of ideas, I think, and recommendations are great. I've been in talks with Jamie and many talks with Anne-Marie over the last few weeks, I guess. And as I mentioned to Anne-Marie in one of our conversations recently, the partnership has been putting together, like we call it, the recovery plan marketing ideas on what we do. So I have a 12-page document that I will be presenting to my board on Thursday. And again, as I mentioned with Anne-Marie, I think it's going to be really great to sort of partner in this really challenging time with the town more than ever, specifically because this study came out the same time we're working on this ideas, and some of the ideas I'm sure I know overlap because I've seen this study already. At some point, maybe again, I have to talk to my board on Thursday. Brian's obviously on my board, but maybe we can present to this committee to kind of bring everybody, you know, together to see some of the things that we're thinking as well. And the partnership is very excited to work with, you know, everybody, the town staff, to make some of this happen. A lot of things that we've come up with in the past, we just haven't been able to do, mostly because we don't either have the money or the staff. But looking at this study, you know, it's really great if we can do some of these things that, you know, many of us have talked about over the years, especially during this critical time. Specifically regarding the signs, I would agree with Brian's comments that the more people that you can sort of get involved, the better. I don't know if there's funding. I'm guessing probably not for the design agency. I wasn't sure what the plan with that is, but I would definitely recommend having some people involved that have a design background. Sometimes when you see towns that have these really nice signs, they usually have some people with design backgrounds involved in it. And then sometimes you go to towns and you say, who thought of that design? Maybe it wasn't somebody that had a design background. So that would be my recommendation, one way or another, to make sure that there's people involved that have a design, whether it's somebody that's being paid, you know, like an agency, or volunteers in the community. There's plenty of people in the community that have really good design backgrounds. So anyway, that's my two cents. But we're, you know, very anxious to work with Brian and Anne-Marie and, you know, the rest of the staff to bring the partnership into some of these meetings. I'll encourage people to come to some of these meetings as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be great. Is there any, aside the signs, are there priorities that you see?
I haven't gone through the list of recommendations as far as priority yet. We're looking at, you know, again, the 12 page of ideas. Some of them are small ideas, some of them are big ideas. I've put that in a little bit of an order, but again, Thursday when I talk to board of directors, we'll be doing that, and I hope definitely by mid-August we'll have that list, and then that's when I think we would be ready to present our list. And we can look at the survey, and yeah, I mean, it's all new to me, obviously, it's just come out. To answer your question, the one thing is bringing new, has always been a priority with the partnership, is to bring in new retail, additional retail, but of course with COVID, know, trying to get that going, and it was even difficult back then, but now, but that's always a priority, especially if we have any opening storefronts. That's going to be critical to build those as soon as possible. But I think the signage, I would agree, that would be, because that's something we can do now, you know? I mean, that's what we're looking at, any kind of ideas that we can do now.
Yeah.
Without, you know, with Zoom meetings and that sort of thing, I think would be a priority. Kind of chipping away, as Jamie had mentioned, you can't do everything all at once, but doing some of the simple things, you know, the easier things.
Right. So do you think you could... So our next meeting will be August 20th? Will you have already had your board meeting by then?
Oh, yeah. My meeting is next Thursday. I believe that's the 6th.
Okay.
So I'll ask them, but hopefully I can get that list together and have more of a chance to look at the study as well. And, I'm in communication with Brian a lot, so... back and forth too.
That's great, because there's a lot of stuff in there, you know.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff. I'm very, very excited. And I'm like you, I want to go.
No, it's do it now.
Yeah, it's difficult though, because I'm probably not going out as much as some people, so I'm like, you know, going, yeah. I like to be out, like, meeting with people, and I'm really not doing that as much as I could.
Definitely. Well, thank you for your comments. So if you have more, just raise your hand again. Don't worry.
Thank you, Lisa. Good points.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to Steve. He's had his hand up. I think he wants to have a comment, Steve.
Yeah, two things. Thank you for the opportunity. One, clearly, in terms of helping to spread the info here widely amongst the community to help your efforts as well. I found the presentation doc. I certainly have seen and read the doc, their study itself. In the study, it references four of the schemes. I have not found them yet on the web page. Are they going to be posted, or are they posted yet?
Steve, could you, like, repeat that sentence? The thing that you couldn't find, I couldn't hear.
Okay. The four appendices that are referenced in the doc on multiple occasions. Says go to the appendix for further info, and there's four listed, but they're not on the website that I found. It may be that they will be posted. I just haven't seen them yet, so that would be one suggestion point. And if they're already there, then just let me know where the link is, and I'll share that accordingly.
Steve, I will talk with Raul. I actually asked for them a month ago, and I think it's just at the top of his list. The other thing is, a lot of the appendixes or whatever, attachments or whatever you would call, he did work into the sections. For instance, what happened at some of the public hearings, and a list of questions and answers and things like that. So I think it may have taken a little bit different shape, but I will ask him and we'll come up with something right now. I'll email him as we speak.
That's fine. Thanks. Because if they're available, I'll share. If they're not, I'll let people know that. Don't ask.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. I just want to say I have a Conservation Commission meeting that I have to attend, and I have to get going and start up Zoom and get going. So
understood, Brian.
All right.
Thanks,
Brian. Thank you for all your hard work on the study too.
The second piece was referenced in there, so just to give you a quick update, clearly it was looking for a consolidated calendar of events. I think most folks are aware that I had worked closely with the Cultural District. We did have a unification of events. We were starting to fix some of the problems with that, and then COVID hit. So the calendar on my side was taken down because we really don't have events. We are now starting to have events, as Jamie indicated. Now the Black Box is having stuff. Concerts on the Common is coming. So I want to start reintegrating that calendar item and then coordinate with the Cultural District. So very briefly, the agreement with the Cultural District had been and it deviates slightly from what was recommended here, so just to make sure you're aware. Because what they called for here was one calendar, and what we'll effectively have is one calendar page, if you will. All the town meetings, respectfully, will be on the town page, which is where they really should be, because you own that space, you own the meeting rooms, and all that kind of good stuff. The cultural events will be on a cultural calendar that'll go two ways, at least in terms of embedded into the Google Doc. It'll go to the cultural calendar, and that's primarily what they want. It'll also appear on Franklin Matters. In the new version, obviously, with Franklin TV Radio, won't go that far away yet. There's also a third item of calendar, which are kind of like, you know, the yard sales, the other events, you know, the church events, things of that sort. That'll be residing primarily on Franklin Matters, but each of the places will also have links for the other two. So when you do go to the cultural page, you'll get the cultural events displayed, and a link to the town events, and a link to the community events. Right. So we will get to that, but realistically and practically, and I agree that it's nice to have a one piece. There's too many events to have on one calendar. It just would be a mess to try and manage. So that's clearly this is the working plan. We're still working to build it and reintroduce it, obviously, as we come out into more and more into the opening. So if there's any ideas, Let me know, and I'll coordinate with Cultural District and whoever to make it happen.
Okay, so can I just clarify something? Those calendars are not on the town website. They will be, or will they be, on the town website?
Well, the Cultural District page is technically part of the town environment.
Okay.
But it will only have the Cultural District events from the Google calendar that you see there today, but it's still outdated because it has old events that are there. It'll just have a newer version and current events as opposed to events that are not happening.
That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking, like, it might be nice to have some place where I know that they say one all together, but I like how you have a link. Like, you separate them because there's just too many events, right?
Yeah.
But to have a place where you can find all the links.
Correct. Each individual page will have a link to the other two.
Right.
But cultural will clearly have the cultural details and the link to the community and link to the town. Franklin Matters will do likewise with the community events priority and then cultural and town. That's going to be your choice. Currently, you've only had the town meetings there, and then to the extent that you choose the cultural district link there, and then you have the Franklin TV, Franklin Matters links, those other links are there. So that could be something we could work in the future to do, but we really don't have calendars to put there yet anyway, so that's a future piece.
Right, but it's nice to think about, like how do we make it easier for people to find all the information?
Totally agree.
That's what we want. It's like the signs, right? But we want people to be able to go one place, find all the information, and go to the event.
Correct.
And one of the other pieces related to that is we also had a forum. So clearly, the Downtown Partnership and library groups, organizations that have a Google calendar, they can get integrated automatically. So that when Lisa adds an event to her calendar, it automatically appears where it needs to. For those that don't have a Google calendar, we're going to have the form. There had been a form, the links broke, et cetera. So we're going to have a new form. And then with the integration of the Franklin TV and radio, the form will do two things. One, it will put the calendar item on its respective calendar. And ideally, it will also then generate a PSA to be shown on the TV screens.
Ooh, that's awesome.
And the key there is to do an automation. We don't have to do the fat fingering. Obviously, there'll be some quality control and checking and all that kind of good stuff. But yeah.
I like that automatic upload. Right into the TV. That's really great advertising for the event.
Anything that can be automated is what we want to do. I don't want to type forever.
Right. Okay, so, Jamie, do you have anything you want to add to the discussion tonight?
Really quick. quickly on that. We've been around and around on this. The cultural district site actually does have a list of bots. I agree with Steve, the less clicking, the more automation, clearly the better.
Yeah.
I think we have to take a view at some point, too, of maybe this is another idea for listening to us down the road, but it's really just about Google. And, you know, it's in terms of how people find things, yeah, I think the way, you know, some of the signage on the ground, that makes a difference. Very clear that makes a difference, right? But we've had this debate about the calendar for a long time. And a lot of the feedback I've heard from a lot of folks is they don't really want to spend any time on it, right? If I'm a business owner that has events, if I'm a coffee house or Black Box or, you know, distillery with the acoustic guitar player that they have a few days a week or whoever, you know, whatever it is, it's just hard for them to go in and go into another system and do more work and think about it. Those business owners post their stuff on their website and it's the most up-to-date on their website, and it's very difficult in today's climate with the real-time gratification demands of our customers to think too much. And they got to find what they're looking for within 2 seconds. And I think that the standard of what we're doing here, and I don't think Steve and I have ever disagreed on this, but the standard has got to be people have to be able to find that event. They don't know what they're looking for. And be like, wow, and spring into action. Just the way people kind of operate these days, maybe it'll change over the generation a little bit. You know, but it's something that we're going to have to struggle with. I know it's been debated for a few years, and I think at some point we're going to have to come to you to realize what is the mindset of the customer, how do we get them to connect the dots like that. And whatever that is, I think we have to do, because, again, we're a spillover community, and a lot of business can be had here. A lot of tickets can be sold. A lot of restaurants can be filled. A lot of stores can be visited when people get here. But we got to get them here, and they got to find something that they're interested in, whether it's a folk show, a common, free, Black Box Theater event, and we have it. I mean, Dean College Theater has shows, obviously, throughout the whole year normally. COVID, you know, not talking about COVID era here, but when we come out of this, they're going to have a theatrical program that we need to fill the theater. Our high school has one, right? So I know the Cultural District has talked about this quite a bit, but we need to get to the brain of the individual who's going to find something. You know, it's Thursday night. Why don't we go out tomorrow night, folks? Where do you want to go? That's how it works.
I agree with most of that. And the key piece, I think, with this approach is it still allows for that. But the one key piece is for those businesses and, like, Downtown Partnership, you mentioned the high school, we already have the music program calendar linked in there. That's one of them. The library's in there. For those that have those, it's in there. And then through the Franklin Matters newsletter and your own monthly newsletter, now you could have a link and or at least some key events to highlight in the newsletter to go out to the people and at least have them, if they're interested in the town meeting, you go to the town page, interested in the cultural meeting, cultural event, go to the cultural page. We're not truly going to have, I'd like to, and I know we all want to get there, have everything in one place, but yeah, with so many systems and so many updates, we're not going to get them all by any means.
Right, and most people who are running the business don't have the time to go fill out all the forms.
No.
Right, so that's like, it's not going to come from them.
We don't want it to be.
No, but for the Cub Scout group that wants to do, you know, the Girl Scout cookies, you know, out in front of the post office, et cetera, that form they would do, and it's a one-time thing, once a year, boom, boom, it's done.
Yeah. Okay. That's a start once we start having events to fill in the calendar.
Yeah, and
the glory there is it's minimal effort. Most of the coordination is already in place, and it helps us solve kind of the piece that we know we will need to. We can't do it today because we don't have that many events to populate the full calendar.
Right.
But we can get there. And then if it morphs and changes, by all means. This developed over time to meet the need, and it can continue to do so if we need to.
Right. And it's I always feel like it's, you know, we have to be dynamic, right? We have to keep changing with how people do things, like Jamie said, but also, like, we can only do a certain amount, So we learn every time. We have to do something. We have to change and adapt. So that's the way it
and
goes.
Just
right?
One other piece on it. Some of the people.
So thank you for bringing that up. I was gonna see Joe was sitting here. I know he hasn't put his hand up, but I was wondering if he had any comments or any questions about the market study.
Sure, Lucia. I'll make it quick. I also have a 7 o'clock. I have to be on conservation, so I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I really wasn't planning on talking tonight. I just wanted to listen. But listening to everybody, it's just a thought to put out there. Being on the planning board and being familiar with what's going on with development, and listening to Councilman Chandler last night about people come out of Grove Street, they come out of the industrial parks, they leave.
Right.
And I was thinking about an idea which is a sensitive issue to some people, and it comes to the signage. And I'll give an example. There's a new marijuana place coming in on Grove Street, and it's a retail store, and being involved in the planning board, that store will generate 3,600 trips on a Saturday only. That's 3,600 people coming out of the driveway, taking a left or a right, getting back on the highway, or going down a Washington Street and taking off to Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this, I don't think I've seen it in towns, I might have, but I've seen it along the highway, would be to have small signs along certain major routes that would have the name of the company and the town sponsor at the bottom, maybe like every quarter mile or half a mile, for an off-site signage, because off-site signage is really hard to get in town of Franklin, kind of taboo. But imagine you're leaving one of those retail stores and you see a sign says distillery, and someone goes, wow, I didn't know Franklin had a distillery. Let's Google that on the phone. They're almost like, you see them along the highway, sponsored
yep.
signs,
yep.
but I'm not talking big lit up signs. Small, nice ones that'll fit in with the community. And maybe it's $100 a year fee, generates some money to the town. I know, I don't think any business person would mind spending $100 to have a small sign in a prime area with that kind of traffic flow going. And something to think about along the main corridors, Washington Street, Grove Street, 140, where the heavy, where people are exiting the town. They get that last chance to repetitively put in their mind, oh, brewery. Hey, you know what? Let's go for a beer. I seen that sign. Let's find out where that place is. Because all these people. Yeah, exactly. Or they get a restaurant, a new Italian restaurant. People don't know. They're in their car and they're leaving. And that's just, they may not do it the first time they see it, but after two or three trips, you know what? Let's try that place. Like, well, and it would say like town sponsor on the bottom, something decorative, nothing crazy. But it would give businesses in town who can't get off-site signage that are on the other side of town to grab some of that traffic flow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You
see them on 485 and wherever you go, like these little tourists, they're like these signs
right.
that have like, you know, tourist attractions, right? It's like,
I'm not saying residential neighborhoods.
Alton Winery, that kind of stuff. You know, like right. you go, oh, there's a winery. Hey,
exactly. But it wouldn't be so much in residential areas, but along the main corridors
right.
where we know
yeah.
people are exiting the town. Every day. It's a continuous thing that's not going to stop.
Right.
Just
a
food
for thought. Big arrow that says this way.
Well, I don't have to go that detail, but I mean, if
yeah,
you have
right.
those nice decorative spots, they don't have to be big, no bigger than a stop sign.
Yeah.
I mean, just something that
that's a great idea.
Reminds the customer that there's a brewery here, there's a distillery, there's a restaurant, there's Teddy Gallagher's. What's Teddy Gallagher's? Gee, sounds like an Irish place. Let's go see what it's all about.
Outdoor eating. Hey.
Yeah. Something to think about.
No. Thank you. I like
it. We have a little fine print note at the bottom, Joe, that says, why go to Rhode Island when you could stay here in Franklin?
That's for something.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I mean, I'm sure we'll be vented out to design review and Brian, and but it's just something, you've got valuable space there, real estate, why are we using it?
Yeah. And it would, and if it's all coordinated, right, so like all the way signs, all those kind of signs are all
right.
sort of the same.
Yeah.
People will know it's an informational.
Exactly. All right, well, I appreciate the time. I do have to run. I wish I could stay longer, but I do have to go to this conservation meeting.
All right, good luck.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Have fun, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Good to see you.
Okay. Does anybody have any... Oh, Jamie put his hand up, but I'm going to... No, you can't talk again. No, it's okay. So Jamie put his hand up again. No, he's not gonna. You just took your hand down.
Yeah.
I'm getting kind of goofy, but sorry about that, everybody. It is late. We gotta have a laugh once in a while, I think.
We gotta have some fun.
Yeah. All right. So, Jamie.
I just want to mention. First of all, I thought the concept of what Valium leading to is something that I think is sparsely referenced in the report. Like I had said in the last night, what Mr. Halligan referenced was sparsely referenced in the report. And the report was designed actually to get feedback. You put the four corners of the puzzle out there generally, and then you start letting over the next 6 months, that's what these sessions hopefully can do, is bring out a little bit of ideas that can maybe change the dynamic of these things. One thing I would mention, Madam Chair, that you mentioned that I think Mr. Halligan did as well, is the outdoor dining. Just so we're on the record and everybody understands, outdoor dining is now like a COVID era, legal entity that goes through November 1st.
Right.
So, I think what we would hope is that the experience would be positive, and at some point we're going to need some sort of legislative fix to this issue. And I want to point out that it is in our work plan to look at a couple things. Because the period of the fall and setting ourselves up for that, so that we can ask our elected delegation to possibly sponsor some legislation for us on those endeavors, either statewide or just for Franklin, is important. And we need to make sure that we have those on the work plan for sure. Whatever that is, if it's a letter to the representative, I don't know yet. I'll talk to them. But I just wanted, for the record, to make everybody aware that the reason why the outdoor dining is happening right now, we're able do this legislative order proposed by the legislature and the governor through November 1st. So we know we have it through November 1st,
right.
And hopefully this is the time at which we can prove, that this is something we should have permanent. So I know there's a lot of big fans out there of this, including yourself, Madam Chair, and the other counselors. I know Anne-Marie is a huge fan of this, and in the citizen survey that was done last year, I don't remember the number. She may remember off the number. I think it was like 78-85% of the town is outdoor dining. So it's an obvious layup. If that's something that we can work on.
I wasn't trying to interrupt, but I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it was definitely very high, very high. I think one of the only ones above it in the survey was farm to table, and then right underneath that was outdoor. So I just wanted to clarify.
There's another one, farm to table.
No.
So, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, so Lisa has her hand up again. Let's go back to Lisa.
Yeah, just one other quick recommendation that it sounds like the signage is going to be maybe one of the priorities the group wants to tackle first. One of the thoughts that I have is, as everyone is going to different towns in the next, months or so, to take photos of signs that you like, because there's nothing better than showing a visual instead of like, oh, I like the sign that Wellesley had. Okay, what does it look like? Well, but if I show you a picture of it, and then everyone could say, oh, yeah, I was thinking that too, or no, yeah, that's not Franklin, that's Wellesley, we don't like that, So just a thought as you're moving, between now and the next meeting, if you see a sign you like, take a photo of it, so easy. Thank you.
Yep, great idea.
We love visuals.
I wonder if Jamie took a picture of the Gloucester.
I knew that was going to come. I was like thinking as Lisa said that. I was like, oh, I wish I had taken a picture of the sign while I was up there.
I usually do that as signs I don't like, but I'll have to switch my thoughts process, I guess. Okay. So, Councilor Bassan, did you have anything to add to the discussion?
I do, Madam Chairperson. Yeah. I was thinking about a sign I had. All over the place when I raised the sign. But you could see a sign, and it was basically the map of the town with all the iconic buildings and sites that could be visited. It was almost like a road map. Of course, a little more decorative, but we could have the Little Red Brick Schoolhouse on there. We could have a plaque on it. We could have points of interest.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Usually, like,
individually, too, and I'm heard of Steve on this, but you could actually. Not a few click on those icons, you get a brief history or menus or stuff like that. Maybe shopkeepers or business people would want to be on that sign or on that software. I've been to Cape Ann a couple of times. I know which sign. They're very seaporty. That is a very seaporty fishing town. They filmed the Perfect Storm. We actually went to that bar where they hung out all the time. Very picturesque town. But I think a map, we have so many iconic locations.
Mm-hmm.
Easily to go back.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I like that. And it could be in a place where there's either like a central parking area or something, then you can say, you are here, and here are all the other places right. that you should go.
I like the software idea, too. That's why I hand that off to Steve, but you could click on the icon.
Yeah. I know, Kate in the GIS department has made these really awesome story maps. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to check them out, but there's one about open space, there's one about all historic buildings, and those are really exactly what you're talking about. I think they're perfect.
Town mapping system is phenomenal. That would be the other town.
Yeah.
One of the best
ones. So something like that to add other things into, I think, Councilor Pisanti is a really good idea. That would be really fun. I know that Anne-Marie has her hand up. Are you done with your...
Yes, I am. Are you?
Anne-Marie has her hand up, so we're going to go to Anne-Marie.
Hi, through the chair. I just wanted to comment on Councillor Pisanti's idea. I think it's fantastic. I think there's a lot of really great digital methods to create modern maps with hover over possibilities, and there's just a lot of really strong interactive ways to get people to take notice to what we have here as far as our historical character and just so many of Franklin's strengths that can be we can reimagine how we present them to people, and being that we're in a digital world right now, and I just wanted to let you know that's something that I've been thinking a lot about, is just how we can really advertise our strengths in a way that people can find the information easily, find what they want to know easily, and I love the idea of the historical piece is such a important part of who Franklin is, and it's one piece of it, but I just wanted to make sure you knew that was something that I was definitely thinking about, and when you brought it up, it hit right on something that I've been really, just working through in my head as far as the best way to do that. I mean, there's lots of opportunities to use, QR codes to scan to find places, and there's just so many options out there. So I just wanted to comment on that quickly.
Just to get a blurb in there, but I don't want it to be all about business. I want it to also be about, there's so many unbelievable historic features now. They chased King Philip. I don't think anybody knows King Philip. Pilgrims chased King Philip through this town. They got him up off Joe's Rock. It's all local stuff that happened.
I think it would be fun to have the map and then have the QR code at the horseman statue. Right?
Yeah.
And then you have your phone and you can scan it. And it brings up all that information.
Yeah.
The restaurants have a good idea to be on there too.
Here's their menu.
Yep. Many restaurants now, that's what they're doing, because they're not handing out menus to anybody anymore. So much is going digital, and people are becoming more familiar with it. It obviously can't be the only route we take, but everything we do has to be multifaceted. We can't just think business. We can't just think history. It's going to have to be business, families, history, education, our outdoor and recreation space, our strong municipal services. It's going to have to be very multifaceted because we have so many strengths that really need to be targeted and get out there. The people are aware of what's going on here, and it's just a process of awareness and outreach in many ways.
Yeah. Exciting.
Thank you. It is. I'm so excited. Just because you know the possibilities, and there's just so much potential, and I think that that's one of the most exciting parts for me, is just the potential that we know we have, and that you know there's so much room to grow, and I think it's just going to be really exciting to see where this everything can take us.
Thank you. Councilor Jones, do you have any other?
No, I'm here. I'm listening. No, I think they're all great ideas. I mean, one of the things that, as we were having discussed, as I was sitting there listening to the discussion, I think all the small signs along the main drag are all good and clever ideas. Obviously, you know, working with pad recognition, color recognition to make associations with businesses or specific locations are all great ideas too. One of the things that Andy's idea with having specific locations too. Two other things popped into my brain that may be not too expensive. One is table mats, paper table mats that they can have at restaurants or the breweries for people who, when they sit and they eat. They have, obviously, sometimes they have advertising along the edges, but usually in the middle of it, there can be like a map. It can be like the map of Franklin. Doesn't necessarily have to be other businesses, because it might be a competition, or it could have our historical locations, you know, the Black Box, you know, the Franklin, the library, the high school, etc. Places, different various locations that can be highlighted on the map. But one other thing that popped into my brain that I remember from going up north, and Anne-Marie, you're probably familiar with these as well. Can I share something on here?
I don't know. Chrissy's the host.
Well, Alicia, the co-host.
No. Just wanted to show you. Speaking of visuals, I wanted to show you a visual. Chrissy, can you put on sharing, please? She disabled it. She in there. Chrissy, you're cooking dinner again.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Alicia, are you there?
I'm here. It's just, this is the first time I've tried to do it, so I'm figuring it out.
Okay. All right. It's okay.
Oh, if you go to...
I got it. I think I have it now.
Okay. Try it. There we go. There we go. You ready?
Okay, here we go.
So I'm sure you've seen these before, because these are what I always recall seeing every time I've gone up skiing in New Hampshire. Yep. Our little local guides that highlight the local businesses as well as key tourist trap locations. I mean, these are great little fun things to have kind of laying around for people to pick up and grab as they're going either through the town hall or going to the library or going to historical museum or even going to the restaurants, you know, making up these nice little tourist guides are great. They show different locations in the town and where our winery is, different locations where our different restaurants are, so on and so forth. And they're not, I don't think they're big money, but they go a long way. I've always found them useful whenever I went up to like North Conway to go skiing and I wanted to know where like local restaurant was, or in the summertime if we wanted to go on the train up the mountain. You know, they're useful little maps, touristy things that are great for the local businesses. And as you can see in most of these advertisements, there are various little, they're partially funded through I think vendors, because they can offer coupons to local businesses. And they get the QR codes and stuff on them too as well. So just an idea. I don't know how much those would cost or what exactly they would contain specifically, but just an idea that popped in my head as you were talking about, you know, highlighting various things around the town. Anne-Marie, are you familiar with those? Yes.
She's staying on mute, I think.
No, I don't blame her.
Sorry, my dog sometimes barks, yep. And then I have to mute myself.
It's all right. My kids sometimes yell, and I have to.
No one else is really really hear but me right now. Everybody left, but my dog is loud. So I love the restaurant table liner idea, and that's a great. I know you mentioned talking about you know, not wanting to have competing businesses on there, but that's something that could be designed, and then every business could add their own logo in the corner. You know, and it wouldn't have to be something that would be just for one business. And then maybe some of the, you know, more comprehensive groups like the Downtown Partnership and other things can have their logos in there as well. But one of the things I've also talked to Jamie about is we need to make sure that all of our advertisements and all of our work that we put into putting information out there has a place to go to get more information. So we really need to redevelop and Brian actually alluded to this as well, that although we have great economic development website, it really needs to be brought to 2020 and make sure that all the information on there is really reflective of who we are now, and needs to be upgraded. But we have to make sure we have a landing spot for all of these advertisements and these QR codes and things that we're going to put out there. Where are we pointing them to? Because ultimately we have to point them to the right place so then they can find out more, find their contacts, find the information they need, and just really designing a flow for the information. So, you know, when we put out a flyer or we put out, you know, an online advertisement or a print ad, that it has a purpose. So it's going somewhere and leading people back to Franklin where they can continue to find out more. So it's just, I wanted to make sure you knew we were thinking a lot about that, about not, you know, just the progression of the information and where it all needs to go. I'm going to mute again in case my dog barks.
Okay. With two dogs, two really big dogs.
Yeah. She has seen my dogs. I have a lot of dog in my house.
They're way bigger than I am, I'll tell you. But, okay, so Lisa, thank you very much, Anne-Marie. Lisa has put her hand up again. So we're going to go to Lisa, and then we'll go back to Jamie.
But yeah, just real quick on commenting on Glenn's idea of those brochures, I just wanted to comment that the Meet Me in Franklin brochure that the partnership did these probably 3 years ago, or I don't even know, maybe 4 years ago now, was so popular. I've had so many requests for us to do it again. We just haven't had the staff time funding to do it, but you know, I kind of thought it was going to be one and done and you know, not that popular, but I can tell you so many people ask me, like, when is the partnership going to do it again? So I agree with Glenn. You know, people still like those, you know?
Yeah, I like to have little maps to wherever I go. I like a map. Not just digital. So let's, is that what you...
Yes, I just wanted to agree with Glenn.
That's great.
I always agree with Glenn, but sometimes I don't, but... I'll mute myself now.
I'm not going to comment. Jamie's laughing, but we're going to go
to... That was great. Yeah. Thank you, Mitchell. I just want to add a couple things. What's really funny is I have to say, and I'm putting her a little on the spot, but this is why we hired Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
And I find it ironic, it's just ironic, that two of the three or four people in town that lobbied me the hardest on this, since I've been in Franklin, were in particular Glenn, who's made it for three, really, and Lisa Piana.
Yeah.
Lisa, you were asking about some sort of, and I told you we weren't going to be able to get into a full time, and we went back and forth, I was able to work it out with the school district, it worked out really well. But we don't necessarily have to go out and get a designer to do this. That's a part of her job, and she's good at it. That's why we hired her, because she's done it before for small businesses, actually, in Franklin. But number two, QR codes, you know, those brochures, I agree with you, Madam Chair and everybody else. The mat is a great idea, but I could see the QR code right in the center of that mat or as part of a layout. It's also fairly cheap to put forward. You know, that's something that, you know, you're talking about a big volume, but we've got a great relationship with Allegra, printing aspect of things. I do want to add in that as of right now, the $10,000 we had in the marketing line item last year is still in the town budget. Assuming that there'll be cuts in October, November, it's still the plan that I have in place for where that money would be reduced on the town budget side. It would not be reducing the marketing line item for obvious reasons. I think we really need that cash to be able to do something. I expect that some of this work will be done in-house, which is good, because we won't have to go out and pay for it. And I think it will also help us to, kind of maybe get into the habit of a consistent coloring scheme, a brand, maybe a design that people can agree on. It may not be perfect right out of the gap, but, we start to get that repetition in people's heads. Like the partnership did with Ladybugs, there's a lot of different ways we can work with this over the coming months, and I think, the mad idea is a fantastic idea, and one we may even be able to do in-house, to be honest with you, and legally, because we can't do the business ads like Glenn was suggesting we didn't even need to do. But if people were putting those out, and you're a family, and you stop at Franklin, you have the QR code, and it directs you to the information that Anne Marie was talking about, now you have everything in Franklin right there. And then, like those brochures that Glenn put up, I mean, all of a sudden, I'm sure Anne Marie's thinking the same thing. Now I'm like, Mel, I'm like, let's just go do it tomorrow. you've got your own historical walking trail, which you tried to promote during COVID. You've got your distillery, brewery, and winery in town now. You've got one of each. We never thought this was going to happen, but now we're excited that they're here, and you can do your own tour of those. And there's a lot of different little mini brochures that we do that we can still point people to other information and try to contact them. So I think those are great ideas. And I just want to let everybody know, I mean, part of Anne-Marie's job is going to be to work on something.
They can be content specific.
Right. Content specific, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, so I saw a couple of Jay Akerstrom put their hand up for a second there. Do you want to say anything? You took it down, but I was going to call on you anyways because.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually couldn't find the chat button, so I've probably been passing over it unbeknownst to myself several times. I've been a resident of Franklin for about 3 years, and I happen to be a director of economic development for another community. And I just wanted to congratulate the staff of the town of Franklin for getting this study completed. We had a similar one done in the community where I work, and we've had it done by SERPED, which is our regional planning group. And it has laid the groundwork for us moving forward in so many different aspects of making changes to the community. You're talking about getting some funding. You can get funding from community compacts to do all kinds of activities under these studies. It just really opens up a broad spectrum of what you can do throughout the years. I haven't really had a time to look at it, but other than just peruse it, but I'd love to make some comments when you're ready to take some comments on possible avenues you can focus on or anything that I can contribute.
You can comment anytime, but you feel free to add to the conversation right now if you'd like.
Well, like you said, I haven't quite read it. But
August 20th.
Our next meeting will be August 20th. So if you, and then you can always email, find any of us, Councilor Jones, Councilor Brisanti, myself, Jamie or Anne Marie, and Brian Tavener.
Brian.
You can find us on the website, our email addresses, and we would love to have any input, because it's a community project, right? And we
exactly.
want everybody to have a chance to chime in.
We've done such a great job with the downtown, and it's much more advanced than where I'm at. Unfortunately, we're trying to get there, but I think one of the things we're looking at is trying to get a brand, rebranding where I'm at, and that will lead us to our signage. I mean, it's kind of a bigger picture approach where you're trying to get branding for the town, and that will impact the signage, the wayfinding. We've had some brand companies present to our downtown committee. How you can do that at lower costs. So there's a few ideas. I'd be happy to contribute as I can.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Don't forget August 20th.
August 20th. I've got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so Steve has his hand up again. So Steve.
Just
quickly to reinforce Anne Marie's point around thinking through and making sure the landing page is thought out, et cetera, because then when you go through a system upgrade and those links break, you now have many, many more people complaining because the links are broken.
Right.
Yep. We need to think through that every time there's an upgrade, not to break links.
Yes, that's the tricky part. Okay, so I guess, does anybody have any other comments for tonight? And if not, I'm going to go to Jamie so he can give us what we should be doing for what our homework is for next time. And what we should be thinking about, really, right? I mean, I think we have a lot of good ideas today. We got a lot of good ideas last night. We just have to keep reaching out to people, get more ideas and what we want to start on, what we can actually do.
This is the kind of fun discussion. I mean, it's just, you know, this is the kind of stuff I hope some of the listening sessions turn into. Maybe to block off some time with them, or you know, just to be able to do this. But I think these are the community conversations that haven't really happened before, and I think we've already all agreed that there's a half a dozen ideas that have flopped on the table tonight, unintended. That I think you know could really have an impact, and I think there are things that we can get done. I think the thing for the homework would be to really look through that report and try to think through what are the things that we think that we can do immediately in the fall to have an impact as we go out and develop. Which will likely take us until, you know, I would say the year. And I, you know, it's hard to think this way, but this is just the way I go. Is, you know, we got to really be looking out to spring 2021, summer 2021. The reality is that, not to go long here, but just to frame the conversation is that, you know, this COVID thing is going to be with us for a while until there's obviously a vaccine. Number two, with cases that are around the country, you know, unfortunately, it's clear that as a 50-state you know, country, we're not all on the same playing field. There's going to be some very difficult dynamics coming up over the next several months that are just going to be here, and it's going to make it hard to implement some of the things that were mentioned tonight. And I think even one of the comments about retail that Lisa had, which I think is something that you know, we've thought, talked about. That's maybe a project that we can kind of lay the groundwork for post-COVID, where what's the new retail world look like? The reality is the new retail world looks like people that are preparing today for there to keep people safe when they come to the store,
right. Who
are the businesses that are going to win today, and how do we talk to them about what's important to them at the session later on? I think for the next month, really looking through the report, thinking through what the priorities, what the issues are, the council, as well as public over the next 6 months, I think is the thing that will have the most impact in the next 2 weeks while we do the summer meeting and kind of bring that on the calendar. And we will work with Raul to, now that we've done the presentation last night, to get a
your microphone, man, you gotta hold it up.
You gotta try to get those appendices from Raul,
yeah,
you know, as soon as possible. So we can get that out for additional summer reading. So,
okay.
This is a great discussion, and I hope we're going to have many more of these. So it's really great, a lot of great ideas.
It's so much fun to brainstorm, to get other ideas, right? So then somebody thinks of something, then you think of something else, and it's just, I think we can get a lot done this way, really.
Yeah, that's great.
It's exciting, because we're all shooting for the same net, right? I guess.
Absolutely. Prosperity.
Well, yeah, we want to be, and we want people to come in and see how cool, all the cool stuff we have here. I think that's really
just one last comment, Madam Chair. I did have a chance to talk to Mr. Halligan today really quickly, and he actually said the same thing as you.
As me?
Yeah, he did. He said, he said to me on the phone, he said, you know, you're doing so many great things here, and, you know, we just need to allow people to come in and enjoy it however they want to enjoy Franklin.
Right.
Whether it's buying a house, you know, whether it's bringing your kids to the school system, whether it's going out to the Gallagher's to get a bite in the alley, whether it's a distillery or whether it's, you know, it's a farm to table eventually, it's unbelievable. No matter what it is, he just gave such an amazing compliment to the town staff and the leadership in this community. He really said some very positive words. And he just, you know, I think it kind of mirrored exactly what you were saying there. We're such a special community. How do we really get people to enjoy it?
We want people to be able to find the things.
Right.
Because people give up, you know. I mean, so.
They need it right away.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a fantastic start.
Yeah.
I think Steve just put it. Did you just put your hand up again?
Sorry, I never took it down before.
Oh, okay. All right. I was gonna say, man. No. So I think we've we're probably done for tonight.
Yeah.
Is everybody okay? Does anybody have anything else they want to add to the conversation tonight? I think it's really great. I mean, it's just so much fun. I kind of like being able to see everybody's faces, like, right here in front of me. So, so I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor? Well, Councilor Lasanti.
Yes.
Councilor Jones?
Yes.
Chair? Yes. Okay.
Have a nice night, everybody.
Good to see everybody again.
Thank you.
Great job. Great discussion, everybody.
Yep.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.